Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Jim Copeland is someone who has high intelligence. He's the director of the Center for Legal Policy, the Manhattan Institute. He's here to talk to us about a new program, a new website, a new initiative that they're working on there. You know, the Manhattan Institute, I've been telling you about them for a long time now. Jim Copeland has been a member of our Brain Trust going back to 2003, and he's our good friend, Jim Copeland. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. ProxyMonitor.org. Tell the audience what that is.
Well, ProxyMonitor is really the first publicly available resource for individuals, researchers, investors, reporters, anyone who wants to go look at the shareholder proposals that have been submitted to companies as part of their required proxy statement. I mean, these are not for small businesses. A lot of the folks that are your listeners, they're not big public companies having
right.
to deal with this. But what we're looking at are for the biggest companies. Increasingly, they're facing a lot of shareholder proposals that are trying to do different things, trying to regulate executive compensation.
So these are shareholders trying to insinuate themselves into the management of the company, much to the chagrin of the board of directors.
That's correct. And a lot of the boards and a lot of folks that we've heard from have said this really isn't appropriate, and they think that if shareholders aren't happy with the way things are being done, the easy recourse is to say, well, sell your shares.
Let them eat cake, right?
Right. Well, it's sell your shares and invest in a different company. Now the folks on the other side, and there are folks on both sides of this debate, and we're not 100% sure where we come out on it. So we're really doing this as a tool for us to be able to do some research and look into it. Because folks on the other side, and there's some professors in this, there's some activist investors, and they think, well, boards haven't really been doing their job.
Boards don't have many boards of directors don't have any kind of any reason to hitch up their righteous indignation over shareholder proposals.
Well, that's certainly what the defenders of such proposals would say, and it. You know, again, it's going to depend from company to company, from situation to situation. I certainly think it's important to have some sort of shareholder access where you can get, for instance, folks coming in and taking over companies that
right.
are underperforming. I think that's very important. But one of the things we looked at, and we did a preliminary report here, we'll keep doing more reports as we go on this, but we just sort of looked at the summary statistics, and what we found was 38% of these proposals weren't tangibly about increasing share value, or to the extent they were, it was quite attenuated. They were what we called social policy proposals, dealing with questions of discrimination policy and human rights and health care principles.
Were they brought by real shareholders or just organizations that had an axe to grind and were using the shareholder proposal a vehicle to make their political cause?
Well, they're all real shareholders in the sense that they own shares,
right?
But it was interesting as well when we started looking at who the most common proponents were, and the most common proponents were basically three main groups. One, they're what we call this sort of. Some people call them corporate gadflies, but they're
right.
these very activist investors. They're not necessarily large investors, but there are a few individuals, Evelyn Davis, John Chevedden, who are repeat players who are regularly filing their proposals across a large number of companies. Secondly, labor unions, the AFL-CIO, the American Federation of State, County,
and they're an example of what I was just talking about. They would
A lot of folks would be somewhat troubled by that. I mean, obviously, they have big pension holdings, and they have the right to vote their shares and whatnot.
Right.
But some folks on management side, for instance, would say, well, they're doing some of this to try to put pressure on management, on executive compensation or what have you, and win concessions for the unions. So some folks are concerned about that. And then the third group, which is also along the lines of what you're talking about, were various religious groups, orders of nuns.
Ethical investors, they call them.
And Sisters of Charity or what have you. And they're coming in there, and these are overwhelmingly the social policy proposals that they're filing.
Jim, hold on to that thought. Proxymonitor.org is the website, right?
That's correct.
Proxy, P-R-O-X-Y, monitor.org. Check it out, folks. It's nothing like it anywhere else. And Jim Copeland and I will be right back. We've got more to come. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.